In Chicago, neighbors text neighbors, ICE is here. Masked and armed in unmarked trucks and even helicopters, immigration and customs enforcement agents have descended on another apartment block, a school, a worksite, a supermarket, to round up anyone they suspect of being an immigrant without papers. Suspicion is enough. The Supreme Court has said looking Latino can see you thrown in detention. But the citizens of Chicago, those alert neighbours, are taking ICE on, keeping watch for patrols, honking and whistling to warn locals that they're about, filming arrests and running hotlines for families torn apart by arrests. Evelyn Vargas is a member of a group called Organised Communities Against Deportation, OCAD. These days, she's coordinating the Chicago area Community Watch on ICE. Evelyn, welcome to Late Night Live.
Thanks for having me here.
How bad has it been in Chicago for the last couple of months?
It's been really intense, especially for our community members who are too worried about going to work, too worried about taking their children to school, worried about taking the bus. I think every aspect of regular life has been infiltrated by fear.
Has it been more intense in the last couple of months? There's been a special operation, hasn't there, in Chicago?
Yes. Midway Blitz, which is an initiative that ICE, along with the Trump administration, are carrying out here in Chicago and the Chicagoland area to arrest and detain and kidnap as many people who look brown or who sound like they speak Spanish as possible. And it's been incredibly intense since the start of September. I don't think we've ever seen numbers like these. It wasn't that long ago, I want to say 3 weeks ago, that we got 1,000 calls in a single day, which is the most that we've ever seen at one time. And that's just part of the folks that call us concerned that ICE is around the corner or ICE has detained their loved one.
Tell us about your organization.
Yeah, so I'm with Organized Communities Against Deportation, and we've been around since 2013, even longer with our work. And what we do is we have started pushing against the systems that ICE has to try and repatriate the folks that have come to make Chicago their home and their community. And what we have found out is that ICE has an incredible amount of discretion on who they do and do not deport. So we have really worked within the system and through informal channels to ensure that our communities don't get deported.
It's interesting you say that you've been around since 2013. Now, this long predates Donald Trump. ICE has been around even longer, has it not?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people are kind of concerned, even in Chicago, about what's going on in terms of the immigration system, kind of for the first time. And it's been something that's been it's been on a lot of people's radar, and that it is causing grave concern around what it looks like when people can't find their loved ones and they're kidnapped, or what it looks like when someone is in detention for months on end, or what it looks like when a family member gets detained and they're the primary breadwinner and can't provide for the rest of their family. But this has been true for as long as the immigration system has been in place. And so what OCAD is really trying to call attention to is not that it is particularly bad now, which it is, but that this system is meant to work in this way and is working in this way blatantly.
There's a suggestion in a recent issue of Atlantic magazine that OCAD is fashioning its strategies in some ways on the Black Panthers.
So what we really have done, and it's more that the Black Panthers have this system of police vigilance that they used to make sure that the community was safe. Because again, what OCAD does is work in through informal and formal channels to ensure that our communities are safe. And what that means for us as an abolitionist organization is that we don't believe the police do that. And so what the Black Panthers were able to have this system of vigilance had continued in the Bay Area, in that area of California, well into the 90s. And so when our organizers saw that that was occurring, we were able to get trained on what it means to do collective safety, because that ultimately, that's the message that we want to get across, that the community saves the community at the end of the day. It's not the police and it's not ICE.
Who is the community that is now emerging that's willing to look after the targets of ICE? Is it just the immigrant community itself?
No, it's folks from everywhere. We've got teachers, we've got attorneys, we have researchers, we have stay-at-home parents, and those are the folks that do anything from helping us get social media going so that people are alerted through through WhatsApp or Facebook. We've got folks who do research and are cataloging anytime we've heard of a detention and mapping out where it is that our loved ones have been abducted. And we've got folks, a lot of folks, spread across the Chicagoland area in 29 groups responding to incidents where folks have been detained and taken. And they're there documenting, they're there giving Know Your Rights information, they're there canvassing to make sure that the rest of the folks who are less vulnerable know that they're not alone.
White folks as well as Hispanics?
Yes, it's a lot. It's been nice and great to see that solidarity. And we've really seen a lot of our white allies come to figure out in different ways and how they can support, and even taking initiatives of their own. But I think even better than that, it's been so pleasant to see a change of pace where there's this, I think usually traditionally there's been a lot of advocacy going on where there is one group speaking on behalf of the other group. And this time, I think we're seeing more and more instances of the brown community taking lead and white folks really saying, okay, what is it that you need? How can I best fit in? And that's been really great to see.
On ABC Radio National, this is Late Night Live. I'm David Marr, and I'm talking to Evelyn Vargas from OCAD, Organized Communities Against Deportation, in the city of Chicago. Evelyn, what happens when OCAD gets a call to say that an ICE raid is going on? How do you respond?
When an ICE raid comes, it comes through our hotline, and we've got a bunch of folks who are directly impacted, immigrants answering this hotline, and the folks that anyone can call in. And so when it's a call about someone being abducted, we will then dispatch the closest neighborhood group. And those neighborhood groups are formed, they're either volunteer and autonomous, or they're based in an organization. And so these are really folks giving their time and volunteering and spending something in the middle of their day to go out and check. And often, as we see the risk increase, put themselves at risk for anything from physical harm to being detained for a period of time. So a group will go out, often two or more, and we try to get there within 10 minutes of when the incident was called in. And it can really range. Sometimes we get there after the incident has happened. And it could be that folks are shaken up and they need to be spoken about around who the person was. And people are so wonderful about talking with us, even when they're nervous. Sometimes we get there afterward. Recently, not that long ago, one of our team members responded to a husband and wife that was abducted, and they left the wife go because they have a daughter at school. And the wife didn't know where to go, if she could go home, what to think, what she tell her daughter. And our rapid responder was able to show up to speak with her and give her all of that information. And sometimes it gets really intense. Sometimes these agents are throwing out gas bombs with tear gas and rubber bullets, which are really in difficult canisters. They almost broke a young man's, a 16-year-old's leg the other day, just this past week. It really varies on what our rapid responders show up to see.
And you film these encounters?
We try as much as possible, absolutely, because at this moment in time, this has always been true, but again, it's been more... It hasn't been as blatant, where ICE is working outside of the law and they do not care. And right now we've got this court case that we were able to win, which emphasizes that ICE cannot detain individuals if they don't have a warrant, and they're still doing this. So this detention, these detentions that happen, we want to make sure that they're caught on camera, so that those that are detained have a stronger, valid argument. Because if it's not caught on tape, it makes it incredibly more difficult for our community members to have a legal case.
But Evelyn, what do you get on tape? You get a man in a mask. Why are they wearing masks? How can... police aren't allowed to wear masks. What's going on here?
I mean, they're doing this to make sure that they can get away with it. Are they, is it, I think the question may be, and I'm not sure if that's like, I think this is, might be what you're getting at, is is this for accountability? Is this why we're documenting this? And the answer is no. We don't think that ICE will be able to be accountable for their actions. This isn't something about, let's show the world how heinous this is, when it is, because this administration is never going to hold their agents accountable of abducting folks and killing people and hurting people's bodies. That's not what we're here for. What we're documenting, what we're getting, is agents working in an illegal fashion to abduct our community so that we, as OCAD, as other groups, as Rapid Response, are able to show this in court and get folks out of detention, because these detention facilities are not meant to hold people, and that they can stay with their families even when their process is moving forward. How they fight their detention, that's a different story. What we also want to show is patterns of how these folks are working, so that our community is better informed of how they can keep themselves safe and who to speak with. If we're able to show folks, hey, ICE is breaking windows, is breaking car windows to get into your car and get you out, parents who are driving with children can make better informed decisions. Or honestly, sometimes people choose not to drive at all. So this record that we keep is both for the legal defense of the person that we're supporting and for the protection of our community before the incidents happen. And the fight around deportation defense is something else that we have been struggling for a long time to fight.
The position of lawyers who are helping you, helping OCAD, helping families who've had somebody put into detention. There was a time when big law firms did a lot of pro bono work on immigration cases. That seems to have dried up.
Yeah, I can't speak for why they did it exactly. My personal guess, and I can only speak for myself, is that it was no longer beneficial for their public image, that they no longer needed to pretend that they cared. And we have, thankfully, partnerships with legal aid organizations who have made it their mission to support the community and who are largely taking the cases that we send their way. But the pro bono work that we had seen coming from law firms, including law firms that we had worked with for years, were no longer doing this, and we're taking that program out from their firms. So we have seen not only an enormous spike in the amount of people needing attorneys and needing attorneys for the most basic things, like locating their loved one, because it's been 2 weeks since they knew anything of their loved one in detention, to fighting their deportation case. And we're seeing less and less law firms giving this legal aid that is so needed to make sure that families are kept together.
The lawyers who are working for you, are they feeling secure?
No, absolutely not. We've seen some of our most admired attorneys get put under scrutiny from the Trump administration. Their legal aid clinics have been taken to court and have been asked to provide documents and to show everything that they've ever done. And that's not because the Trump administration thinks, oh, we know exactly what they've done illegally. It is so that the Trump administration can build a case around this legal aid work that's been happening and push against it and dismantle it. We've seen other individual attorneys be targeted by the Trump administration. Folks are taking down on their pages the staff and the attorneys that work for them so that their faces aren't recognizable. Firms are asking that we only contact them through work phones, no longer individual phones. People are scared, and they're doing this in spite of it because it's the right thing to do.
On ABC Radio National, this is Late Night Live. I'm David Marr. I'm speaking to Evelyn Vargas of OCAD, helping immigrants in the Chicago area. Evelyn, there's a particular story that caught my eye, and I thought that it would be good to give a picture of what's going on. The story of Gladys.
Yeah, Gladys is a mom of, and she came into the U.S. in 2008 from Honduras, and she came and almost right away joined our organization, and she was a single parent and was working to support her three kids. She currently has a daughter in high school who is also answering the hotline with us. So she's both in her studies and taking in these calls of need. And Gladys was able to support us fight not only for her asylum case, but fight for other folks who were in deportation proceedings, showing up to protests for other folks that we were fighting to get liberated and sometimes did, where she would show up to help us share Know Your Rights information to the rest of the community. She wasn't just in this for her own case. She was here because she knew what it meant to work and fight in community. And she was such a beloved member. And in this, during one point of her asylum case, even though her attorneys were working really hard to make sure that it got approved by the court, the government asked her to wear an ankle monitor and to check in with them. And this is something that, as OCAD, we've been wary of for a long time, are the ankle monitors and the phone check-ins that you're supposed to do if they ask you to. And they asked, ICE asked her to come to their office for a check-in. We were very nervous. Her daughter was in finals for school that week, and we weren't. It was just a random text telling her, come to the office. Didn't even give her a time of day. And we get there and she goes in and she doesn't come out. And her attorneys are being given the runaround. We don't know how to reach her. She was, it seemed, smuggled through the back door.
Yes.
And we're still fighting to make sure that she can return to her family.
Evelyn, thanks so much for joining us on Late Night Live.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Evelyn Vargas of OCAD in Chicago about the big ICE operation being mounted in that city now.